Praise the Lord. That's when the only thing we need to do is to trust in Jesus. Thank you, Chrissy. This was, song was made at the spur of the moment. But praise the Lord for that. If you could stand in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We will continue at Sermon on the Mount. And today we go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew 5, 13. And the Bible says there in Matthew 5, 13, if you have your Bibles, if you have your iPhones, or your iPads, whatever you have, that the Word of God is in. And let's look at it this morning. The Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you call us the salt of the earth. What a name. Lord, that's the name you call us. And help us, Lord, as your children, to be the salt of the earth. Not just regular salt, but the salt that you want us to be. I pray, Father, for someone here or even on social media that never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may they consider Jesus this morning. May they call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So salt. The Bible calls us salt right here. We have to be the salt of the earth. And the question is, what kind of salt is Jesus talking about here? Is that regular salt? Is that sea salt? Is fabricated salt? What salt is Jesus talking about here? So first, sake of introduction, a family was vacationing in Florida visiting grandparents. The grandmother took the children for a ride through the town, and she drove past a small church. She pointed out to her grandchildren and said, that is the First Baptist Church. Her 8-year-old grandson replied, it must be a franchise because we got one just like that one in our town. So there are many churches all over this country, of course, but statistics and studies show that church buildings are closing. Because church attendance is becoming less and less. What is the reason why people are losing interest in the house of God? What is the reason people don't see the need for God? What is the reason for all of this? What is the reason people this morning are golfing or are in the beach or planning their cookouts? Whatever they do, and they choose that instead of the house of God. What is the reason for that? And we see, folks, this more and more and more. And the Bible says, that Jesus says, when I come, will I find faith upon the earth? Right. Right. That speaks a lot about the state of the church. So we live in a church age, the age of grace. And this age is going to come to an end. Yep. And we see this phenomenon happen more and more when less people go to church, less people find a need for church. Less people don't even have a need for God. They rely on their own ways and their own things that they do. And if they come to church, they do God a favor. And if they even give, it's like giving God a tip and say, God, I'm good today. See, I went to church. Aren't you glad I went to church? The Bible says we are commended to be to the house of God. It's not an option. It's not a choice. It's not something that I do if I want to. Is that something that we ought to be doing? Because that's what God commends his children to do. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together as the man of some is. Yep. See, it is a command, not an option. But unfortunately, we see this more and more where people think they do a favor to God by going to the house of God. Let me tell you. Don't you know that we need God more than God need us?
Amen.
We need him more than God need us. You say, I don't need God. I have my own resources. I have my own things. Yeah, and you get sick. And you got an illness that the doctor's struggling to get cure for you. Then now, what happens now? You see, we think we are strong, but we are not. We are weak. We think that we are unbreakable, but we are fragile. Yep. We need God. We need his word. We need his house. We need his people. We need all that so we can live godly lives in this world that will last for after even after we depart from this world. We leave a godly legacy for people to rely on. So we're talking about the church and the salt of this earth. What is the reason families adventure with their children to the house of God? Folks, one of the saddest things that is in many churches today is that many churches, even when they open, they stop proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They become more than anything just places to hang out, so to speak. So if we're going to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel must be preached and proclaimed. It must be preached. That's why it's not a popular thing these days. Why you think they changed the philosophy of the church? Why they think they put more entertaining instead of the word of God being preached? Because they try to accommodate people to come in and appease them. There are many churches who are more focused on programs and entertainment than they are in evangelizing the world, the lost people around them. Does America need another church? Does America need another house of worship with no outlet for evangelism? America has enough feel-good theology these days, folks. We have enough social Christianity. We have more than enough health and wealth preachers in our country today. Go to the television and see it. What America needs is a group of people who would be willing to take the road, the last travel. They need a group of people who are willing to be real with their faith. We need a group of people who will be willing to take their faith from the sanctuary onto the streets of America. We need a group of people who would be willing to be a church of the living God. Yep. That's what we need to be. We're not looking at the size in number, but the people themselves. Let me put it this way. How many apostles were there? How many apostles, class?
12.
12 apostles. All right, what they did? Turned the world upside down. 12 people. I think we have more than 12 here. You see that? Sometimes we think, well, listen, here's what God calls us to do. To be faithful. To be faithful to Him. To do what He called us to do. And He will build His church. That's a promise. We're not the ones who build the church. He is. Listen, we live in a state today, we have to bring all this stuff in to accommodate people to come so we can appease them. No, no, no. The gospel offends people, folks. The gospel offends people, especially if they live in a type of sin and the preacher just preaches on that and they think, wow, that guy is just chewing on me. Oh, no, that's the word of God. Listen, one of the least thing a pastor want to do is to offend people. I tell you what, Jesus was very bold in his days.
Yep.
Now, when Jesus started with the Sermon on the Mount, he began with the word blessed. Actually, he repeats the word 9 different times in that passage in Matthew 5. It was delivering a message of hope and happiness for those who follow his word. And let me tell you, folks, the gospel message is a message of hope for the hopeless. It's a message of blessing. It's a message that fulfills the heart, the human heart. I remember where I was before I got saved. I remember the type of life that I was living. And I remember what Jesus did for me and my family. It was no man that did it. It was God that did it. He's the one who transforms people's lives. And Jesus says right here, listen, if you see the word one time, if you see two times, but if you see the same word 9 times, you know what we call what we should do? We need to pay attention to it.
Amen.
9 times it said blessed or happy is the person that doing those things. Sometimes we think that we're missing out in life on things of this world. No, you're not. Listen, folks, it's a matter of perspective. Okay? It's a matter of, listen, you can go on vacation tomorrow. You can go on vacation tomorrow. You go to the most beautiful place on earth. And you come home and I'm going to ask you, so how was your vacation? Hey, it was so boring. You know why? Because you choose to do nothing.
That's right.
But you can come from the most ordinary place and you go, so how was your vacation? Oh, that was great. Why? You know why? Because you did something. It doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter. Listen, it's a matter of perspective. Some people say, oh, goodness, I have a million things to do, and I don't have time for God. Listen, it's a matter of perspective. I've been living the Christian life for 25 years, and I tell you what, I didn't lose a beat yet. I love it. joy and gratitude of heart. Is everything roses? No. But when we love Jesus, he promises in his word, blessed, happy is the man that does those things. You see, nine times he says this thing here. He was delivering a message of hope and happiness for those who follow his word. But now he makes a shift here in verse 12. Jesus causes us to stop looking inward so that we can look outward. And when we do that, we can stop but see the world and its condition around us. People are affected by this terrible disease called sin, and they need medical attention. You know, folks, people in our world need heart surgery. They really do. They need to come to the physician, for the special physician, for heart surgery, because they are plagued or they are diseased with sin. Far worse than COVID. Now, for the names that we are called in the Bible, this one of interesting name. Jesus calls us salt. Many names he calls us, but he calls us children. He calls us salt here. When Jesus gave us the name of salt, he is reminding us that we have the opportunity and the responsibility to be an influence in our world. So the first, when he started the Beatitudes, he's saying, blessed is the man. He keeps going down. He makes you look inward in your heart. But he shifts here. Now, don't look inward, look outward. Look where you live. Look at the condition of your world. And look at what you can do and the opportunity that we have. Listen, where is the harvest? Right outside those doors. Right outside the doors. Look across the street to the gas station. Harvest is right there. Yep. You know one thing I see down south, every time I go down there and see up here? I see those preachers right on the side of the streets with their Bible open. They stop in those intersections and they preach the word of God. You know what I do? I beep when I see them and I wave at them. Yes, praise the Lord, you're doing it. It takes courage. It really does. Go try it and see if it takes courage. It takes courage. So when you are living out the standards for the Lord, well, that's what we need to be, that salt. Now, light is an external quality that enables one to see, just as but salt is a different thing right here. Next week we'll look at the light, but this week we're looking at salt. In other words, our testimony will get out of you. Those around you will see when you are the salt of the earth. So this morning I would like to look at this word called salt from different points this morning. Number one, we see the description. Did you know that salt is a miracle in itself? It's plain old salt. Okay, let me read this to you. Salt is composed of two poison, chloride and sodium. Okay? It's two poison ingredients. If you ingest either by itself, you will die. All right? But put them together and you will have common, ordinary salt. Ain't God good? You separate them and you just drink one or eat one, whatever you do with it, you would be dead. And that which was is used to bring death somehow comes together to bring life, and that's a miracle in itself. Listen, folks, if you go down to study even our own galaxy, our own planet, everything that consists, it's a miracle of God that he sustains everything. So people in general do not realize the importance of salt in maintaining the life and health of their bodies. An exact percentage of it always presents in our bloodstreams, and any great deviation from this amount can result in sickness and even death. Salt is a sustainer of life too. For this reason, sea salt will support allow more organisms or living organisms than fresh water. Isn't that interesting? As a preservative, it retards spoilage. It is also splendid condiment. Adding zest and savor to our food, or flavor to our food. Now, what about salt in Scripture? Scripture used the power of salt to convey for us as believers a spiritual truth. So salt in the Scripture is to be a symbol, number one, of a binding covenant. Let me read to you Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. In every obligation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. So salt in the Scriptures is a big thing. But about salt in our world as well, we know what salt does. You ever seen rock salt? My dear wife put rock salt in our stairs.
Yep.
You know what happened to the stairs? That thing is so powerful, it digs holes in the concrete. It is amazing what that stuff does. Now we have a holy stairs. Because that's what it does. It's that powerful ingredient. So salt is powerful. Number two, salt is a healing and cleansing aid. We see this in 2 Kings, where salt is used for healing. Number three, salt is a stimulant to the appetite. Job 6:6, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? Think about it. You eat an egg, a boiled egg, you eat the white. Is any taste on that thing? No, that's why I fry them. at least you have some grease on it. Fry them with the, like olive oil, right? Make yourself feel good. So number four, salt is a preservative of decay. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? So it says right here, number five is that salt is a promoter of peace. It's all in the scriptures, folks. Look what it says in Mark chapter 9, verse 50. It says, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith ye season it, have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. Number six, salt is a stimulant of our testimony. Look what it says, ye are the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. So the stimulant of our testimony, if we are to be the salt of the earth, guess what? We have to act like salt is. Power. Oh, goodness. Number seven is salt is an evidence of grace. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Look what it says. Seasoned with salt. That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You see, God even called us to season our words with salt. I mean, literally says, watch what you say. Watch the way you speak. The words that come out of your mouth, are they words seasoned so you can convey a good message to people? Listen, this tongue of ours is very destructive at times. We can destroy people with this tongue of ours. We can cut wounds in the hearts of people, or we can be a blessing. Actually, James calls the worst weapon that it is the tongue. But God says in his word, we have to season this tongue of ours with salt. So when we talk, when we speak, we bring thirst to the hearers, those who listen to us. You know how some people, they're very interesting when they talk? You notice that and you look, wow, people are like that. I remember that when I was a kid, there was a lady in my school. I went to public school. And this lady, this is an older lady, she used to clean. And she had a way of talking that she had kids. We talk about kids getting in trouble in the playgrounds. And during the school time. And we were there sitting down listening to this lady telling these fascinating stories. And before you know it, like she got popular. It was like 30, 40, 50, 60 kids just listening to her. I was one of them. I mean, it's like it's amazing. Sometimes, people fascinate. So God wants us to be that way, to be people that are interesting, that we have our words seasoned with salt. And we, when we convey, when we talk, people go, oh. Letter A, salt, preserving ability. Do I give you number seven? Evidence of grace, yes. Salt preserving ability. Salt words of decay, it is rubbed into meat in the effort to preserve it. Of course, we know that if you put salt and meat, it preserves meat. I mean, especially, I remember when I lived in Portugal as a kid, my parents didn't have a refrigerator. Most people didn't have it. Most people didn't even have electricity in their homes. And they used to preserve food, and they used to put the food inside those big clay jars, whatever they call it, and they used to fill that thing with salt, and it will preserve food for the longest time. It's interesting what salt does, and salt is a preservative. So, go down right here, salt, let it be salt penetrating ability. Salt will penetrate and infiltrate whatever it touches. Salt is an aggressive substance. The early church is an example of saltiness penetrating ability. We see this in the book of Acts chapter 8. You see, we have to see those things and what salt can do in the lives of people. Look at salt, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto death. And that time with it, there was a great persecution against the church that was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad, the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. And when they found them not, they drew Jason, a certain brother, unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." So, folks, the early church was a penetrating influence in a dark and lost world that desperately needed Jesus Christ. And again, I said in the beginning, how many apostles was there? 12. What they did, they turned the world upside down. Let me ask you this question. Can we, East Bay Baptist Church, turn the world upside down?
Amen.
We can.
Yep.
I said that this morning in Sunday school. You know what we need to do? We need to return to our first love. And we can turn the world upside down. Because if we lose focus of what we do, and then we're doing everything out of duty, not out of love.
Right.
And we have to do things out of love, not out of duty. Love for whom? For Jesus. Jesus, I'm doing this because I love you. That zeal, that energy that we have when we first got it, when we got saved. And I tell you what, the apostles turned the world upside down in the early church in a very difficult age. Folks, we're not being persecuted like these people were. Some of those people were killed. Look at Stephen, was stoned to death. We were not being persecuted for that. We have the opportunity to do so much for God. We have social media. We have technology. We can use all this for the glory of the Lord, can't we? Interesting thing. I'm not a policeman. I'm not a private investigator. I'm not a detective. But I noticed this. I mean, many people that follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, and in other social medias, I tell you what, very few Christians even put a Bible verse there in their things. You know what? What a way to be the salt and the light of the earth. Use it for the glory of the Lord. I'm not trying to pick on anyone here. I'm just trying to say, what can we do in a world that desperately needs God? And folks, they don't come in after you because you put a Bible verse there. They don't come after you. Nobody comes. But these people right here, they were persecuted for their love for Jesus. See, salt, let us see, is a purifying ability. Salt is remarkable, cleansing ability. Actually, we see this in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Elijah cleansed the waters of Jericho with salt. Look what it says there in verse 19. "And the man of the city said unto Elijah, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord seeketh, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him, and they went forth into the spring of the water and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death of barren land. So the waters were healed in this day according to the saying of Elijah, which he spake." You see, salt has a purifying ability. So salt have a powerful influence in cleansing. Salt in a wound can cleanse that area. You have a wound that is infected, you put salt in there, it can cleanse. Let me tell you this. So how can you compare that to us today? How can it be that type of salt? Listen, there are people in our world who are dying.
Amen.
And going to hell.
Right.
You can be that cleansing salt that they need. You can be that influence that touches that life that turns to Jesus. Folks, this is not a game that we play. We're not playing church. This is reality. Reality is this. You were born to this world. You existing and live in this world. And one day you will depart from this world. And when you depart from this world, it is two ways. It is heaven. It is hell. And based on your decision, that's where you go. It's no turning backs. It's no reincarnation that you come back and live another life. You live once and that's it. We think we can play God, be God, and do things that, you know, like, oh, I'm my own God. No. You have to give an account of the life that you live in this world. You see, I think some of us will get to heaven someday and we're going to regret not serving God the way we should have. See, salt is a powerful influence. Salt in a wound, like I said, it cleans the area. Now, take the picture of salt and apply it to the influence that each individual Christian can have in this world. Listen, you know people that I don't know. You live amongst people that I don't know. You work with people that I don't know. My question to you, are you the salt that God called you to be where he puts you? Don't you know whatever God puts you, that's a ministry for you? Listen, a new place of work, that's your ministry. Your pastor's not there. It's you. In your neighborhood, your pastor's not there. It's you. More than likely, your pastor never met the people that is living in your neighborhood. See that? We have to be that powerful influence there. The salt of the earth there. See, you and I can have a powerful influence in the world if we act like the salt that Jesus is talking about here in this passage. Listen, folks, often Christians have a purifying effect on the world around them. They ought to behave differently when the child of God walks up. Don't be offended if they stop talking when you come around. Just thank God that you are acting as a purifying force, that they even stop talking their trash that they're talking about because you just approached the situation or just came up to them. How many times even in the workplace I come to a group of people and they stop talking? I know they're not talking. Whatever they were saying was no good. You know, it's your influence, your presence. That's a wonderful thing. You say, Lord, I guess I'm making a difference here. And that's good. Don't be offended to say, oh, they don't want me to hear. No, sometimes it's our influence, our very presence. People just stop because whatever they're saying is no good. You see, just thank God that you are acting as a purifying force in the world around you. So we had to act this salt, be the salt of the earth. Every meat offering is to be offered with salt, Leviticus 2:13. So it is with our lives. Our lives should be lived to bring a big thank you to the Lord. We ought to offer our lives as an offering to our God. You say, well, but I don't be happy that way. Listen, look at me. You think I'm an unhappy fellow? Really? I'm just talking. You really think I'm an unhappy fellow, bored? I mean, if you hang around with me, you're just going to fall asleep because I'm a bored person. Listen, I'm a going, I never stop. My wife sometimes calls me the Energizer Bunny. I'm like, you never stop. You just keep going. I'm like, that's me. I feel bad for my wife sometimes. I drag her along. But see, you can be a Christian and then be a joyful Christian. Or you can be a Christian and be like, oh, poor me. It's a matter of choice and priorities, isn't it? Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Go there. Look what it says there in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Look at Paul's plea right here. Look what it says. Are you there? Okay. Look at this. I beg you. Oh, I beseech you. Therefore, brethren, he's talking to Christians, by the mercies of God, look what it says, that you or ye, present tense, present your bodies, what is it? A living sacrifice. Say that with me. A living sacrifice. See, holy means separated, acceptable unto God, which is you are. Your reasonable service. God says to be separated, to be holy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, is not that hard like you say it is. It's a matter of priorities, folks. It's a matter of priorities. Everything we do in life is a matter of priorities. Look what it says, and be not conformed to this world, but look what it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What God says right here, listen, how can a Christian be transformed by the renewing of his mind? Listen, we have to read God's word, we have to chew on God's word, we have to apply God's word, otherwise the world will transform your mind, not God. It's two ways. Either the world will shape your mind or God will shape your mind. It's a matter of priority where you're going. Paul says right here, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our minds? Okay, so you have a drug addict here and you have a drunkard here. And their mindset is on what? On drugs and alcohol, correct? That's what they do all the time. How are you going to take their fumes away from their mind? You got to put something else there. And you got to keep putting it there. Otherwise, that thing comes back. That's how you renew your mind. You take the worldly things out of your mind and replace it with something else. Otherwise, it never happens. That's what Paul's saying here. He said, renewing your mind, you have to read God's word. You have to apply God's word. You have to live God's word. Otherwise, there's no renewing. Letter D, salt-pleasing ability. There are a variety of foods that would be better not to eat if there was no salt to put flavor into it. Tell you what, yesterday we had veggie pizza. It was missing something. It was missing some flavor there. I said, it's missing something here. My first thought was salt. Bring the flavor up. Needed something there. It was bland. It was like, eh. So salt brings the best in food, doesn't it? Salt brings the best in food. Salt blends and adds flavor to food. How many times is that? Almost every restaurant, they have a little extra salt and pepper in the tables. So you put it to your taste. Some people don't eat much salt. Some people like the things a little salty. So to the Christian should add flavor to the world around them. Listen, folks, the reality is we have a world that is decaying because of sin. We have a world that is dying, going to hell. And what we need to do? We need to be the salt of the earth. Listen, we mingle with the world that we don't tell nothing about Jesus to them. Look what it says in Philippians 1:7. It says, so let your conversation, or means your way of life, be as common the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. See, our faith, our way of life should show the world the quality of salt that we are made of. Folks, I put it like this. Every child resembles a home. You got that? If you parent here, you know what I'm talking about. Every child resembles a home. The way that home is run, the way that home acts, the way that home is as a family. It resembles a home. All right. The way a Christian lives and behaves and acts, it resembles their walk with the Lord. Yep. That's what it does. So I know we have a carnal-minded Christians, we have the spiritual-filled Christians, but it resembles, and that's sad because we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. It reveals our love for God. And I tell you what, we even live in a world that needs to see the reality of Christianity. Our words, our actions, our reactions, our behavior should be always seasoned with salt. It should be something about us that causes others to be curious, to want what we have. Can you imagine you a Christian that don't live a life for God the way you should, try to invite somebody to church and that person goes, go to your church for what? Behave like you? You see, we are salt. It brings that thirst. It brings that should be created in the lives of people. So our words, our actions, I tell you what, sometimes we don't understand but how much we can hurt people. Letter E, salt poisoning ability. Salt kills some things. Ever poured salt in a slug? What about in a tree? If you put salt along a trunk of a tree for a long time, guess what's going to happen to that tree? It's going to die. What about putting it in the grass? You want to kill the grass in your yard? Just spread some salt there. Salt purring alone, like I said, it will kill the grass. Too much salt is not good for blood pressure. In Judges 9:45, Abimelech took a city that he sowed the city with salt to prevent the ground from being used to grow crops. He killed the field with salt. By some, the same token, when true Christianity is sown in the lives of and homes and communities of the world, something will be put to death. We make the choice to suppress the old nature. We make the choice to die to sin daily. We make an impact in our world by the very fact that Christianity is pure, a pure poison to sin, which is. Letter F, salt promoting ability. We see this, we already read this verse in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that he may know how we ought to answer every man. So salt creates thirst. You say, how does it work? Okay. Do you ever have pepperoni pizza? And that pizza is salty? And what happened to you about half an hour later? I said, oh, that pizza was salty. That's what we usually say, right? That pizza was so salty. I'm so thirsty. And it is unease in your body because of the amount of salt that you consumed. So salt creates thirst. You know what I'm trying to say here? We ought to create thirst in the lives of people. Make Christianity interesting. Not like God is dead. If God is dead, might as well just make a funeral. All right? Go to your neighborhood, dress in black, and boom, 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 march up the street, and say, well, what's wrong with you? God died. You know, no, make Christianity interesting. Make Christianity something that some people want to. Talk about Jesus. Don't be ashamed. You go to a public arena, you go to a restaurant, talk about Jesus openly. Don't be ashamed of it. Let people know that God is alive and God loves them as well. That's the ability that salt have to penetrate the hearts of people. You think I'm a pastor? You think I go to work? I don't talk about Jesus. And before I get in the gate of my job, that's the first thing I say, Lord, use me today. Yep. Lord, use me today to talk to these people. Are they get saved? No, I don't know God. But let me tell you, they hear it. Amen. They hear it. And we have a group of people. I have my co-worker, Scott. He doesn't work with me. And he comes to me, Pastor, I pray for you today. So that we have an ability to reach these people here. You see, there's others that do the same thing. But let me, I don't go to work, say, oh, but you just go do my thing now. I'm going. No, we it's people there that needs to hear the gospel. And you know what? We make Christianity exciting. Obviously, if they keep coming back to me, I think they're finally exciting and intriguing. They come to me and ask me questions. So we live, when we live as Christians should live, I think we can make a difference in our world. Salt promoting ability here. When we take the call of Jesus seriously and live right, look right, act right, talk right, worship right, and dress right, we have the ability to create thirst for Jesus in the hearts of those around us. When that happens, we can point men to Jesus and share them with you. Don't you know that your neighbor knows how you live? You know when you go to church?
Yep.
My neighbor told me that one time. Hey, I know that every morning, Sunday morning, you get up to go to church. I see you get in the car. I said, how do you know I go to church? Oh, the way you dress. Interesting. See, they take notice. Sadly, some Christians do not promote thirst. Sadly, there are some that don't look at and see the need of the world. Why should I receive Jesus if we live that way? But let me tell you, the Bible calls us to create thirst. Letter G is salt-proven ability. Salt changes nearly everything it touches. Salt changes food. It changes eyes. And we can go on. We are called to be the thermostats, not the thermometers in the world around us. We ought to be the instruments that God used to implement change in a wicked world. Can you change your world?
Amen.
Yes, you can. Listen, you know people that I don't know. I know people that you don't know. God put you in a specific place for a specific purpose. That's your ministry. Reach those people. Be the salt that God wants you to be. Tell them about Jesus. Talk about Jesus often. Not say, well, I don't want to put in it. No, use the gospel as something that's what you live. Often through the day you say, thank you, Jesus. Like out loud. Thank you, Jesus. That was good. And people, when you say that, they look at you and go, but if you say it often, they're going to hear the name of Jesus often. Yeah. See, sometimes we think there people don't want to hear. The problem is we don't speak often. That's our problem. We live on assumptions. And we think this. No. We live, we do, and let God be God. How often you say, praise the Lord? in a workplace, you're working with another person, something gets done, you say, praise God. Job is complete, done perfectly. You giving glory to God, and you be the salt to that person that doesn't know Christ as Savior. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful phrase. What a wonderful word. When the genuine New Testament Christianity touches the sinful wicked worlds, what they need to hear is the gospel. We need to be that salt. I'm still in point number one. Point number two, the danger. So salt was very valuable in the ancient world. So valuable, in fact, that the Roman legions were often paid with wages of salt. This payment was called the salarium. Is there the expression, not worth this salt, comes from. So it was possible for salt in that day to lose the flavor, or the flavor, or the strength they had. The salt used was far different from that which was used today. Our salt is a chemical compound, like I said, called chloride and sodium, or sodium chloride. So the salt used in the ancient world was either mined from the salt of cliffs along the Dead Sea, which were 7 miles long and several hundred feet high, and it was evaporated from the waters of the Dead Sea as well. Either way, it was always mixed with minerals and vegetable matters. So when this substance was exposed to the elements, or when it touched the earth, that salt lost the salty taste, and it was good for nothing. So there is a danger that me and you as Christians can happen, and that we are good for nothing. Follow that? Just like salt, we can come to a point where good for nothing. We just like, we live so destitute, we live, our mind is so wrapped up in the things of this world that we are not a good testimony for God. It was like salt that is good for nothing. Number three, you see the destiny to avoid. The destiny to avoid. Look what it says. It says, and to be trodden under the foot of man. See this in, of course, in our text, Matthew 5:13. So the ancient times when the salt lost the savor, it was taken out of the cast into the footpaths. It was used much as gravel is in our, like in our days. It was only supposed then it was to kill out the weeds and that might grow in the roads. So that's what happened also to the Christian. When it is a destiny to avoid is there, we can live such a life, we can be in such a way that we can lose it all because we're not the influence that we should be. Folks, let me put it this way. We have the truth. We are possessors of the truth, and we can share the truth. The reason why many are not the way they should be is because they never really heard the clear presentation of the gospel. Also, many Christians have no love for God at all. They lost their first love. That's what happened. So they are salt that lost the flavor. They are salt that good for nothing because they lost their first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. What causes us to move on? What causes us to keep going? What causes us to open our mouth and tell some unsaved person about Jesus is our love for Jesus. Otherwise, we won't tell. We love people enough to go tell them they're where they're going. They were going to a place that you don't want to go yourself. But in order to do that, we have to be that salt that Jesus is talking about here. Salt that has a powerful influence. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of those around us. And let me tell you, I think all of us can look and search our hearts and say, Lord, am I that influence? Am I that powerful salt? Does my speech create thirst in the mouth of people? Am I like the pepperoni pizza? When they eat, they run for water. And when they hear me talking, they want to hear more and more. May we be that influence. When Jesus spoke, people paid attention. Yeah. When the apostles spoke, people paid attention. That's the reason why they turned the world upside down. When we speak, do people pay attention? Especially when we speak about God. You see, is a way to speak about God in a forceful way. Is a way to speak about God.
Okay. And I found this on the web for as a way to...
Forget about that lady. She found Jesus, I guess. Praise the Lord, you found Jesus. Oh, goodness, that took my thought out of my mind. So I conclude with this. As you consider your life this morning, can you honestly say that your life is like salt in this world? There is a tremendous need for every child of God to be all that God wants us to be. And I tell you what, he calls us, a weird name. He calls you and me salt. The salt of the earth. Are we the salt of the earth? Where you are, where you live, are you that salt that Jesus says you should be? Because salt has a powerful influence in the lives of people. Let's bring flavor to the hearts and minds and the mouth of people by talking about Jesus. Listen, do like I do. You don't have to be in a workplace or in your neighborhood saying, John chapter 3 verse 4 says this, and Matthew this says that. Memorize the scripture and just use it in the way of conversation. And you could see how God's word touches their hearts. So the other day, a guy was angry at my job, really angry, very angry. I said, hey, a soft answer turns away wrath. I didn't say this was Proverbs chapter 15. I just said, a soft answer turns away wrath. He came whoop down. God's word works. When he quoted it in the right time, in the right moment, it was appropriate right there. I passed by, and this guy was going on because of somebody else. And I just said that. Calm down. See, if we are to be the influence of salt in the earth, we need God's word. We need to make use of this Bible of ours. Don't just decorate the house with it. Read it, study, meditate on it. Use it, live it. You say, this is 2021. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because the Bible was written to the heart of man. It was not written for the age. Because if it was written for the age, guess what? It would be old and out of date. You ever read a book that was written? Somebody wrote that book like 10 years ago? You read it and you go, all right, that's good. That's good for your time because it's old. That's why they cost $30. Before you know, they cost like, what, 50 cents? Or sometimes 3 pennies, and we find them in a store, sometimes free. You know, but not the Bible. The Bible is for every age because it was written to your heart and mind. That's the word of God. So God calls us to be the salt of the earth. And I conclude with this. Are you the salt that Jesus calls you to be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father.